Dr. Wilson, what about the possibility of Terminator robots?
Yeah, so Terminator, the T-1000. Everybody remembers those endoskeletons marching across a field of, you know, human skulls, right?
That's right.
So, you know, if, God forbid, you end up in a situation where you've got a Terminator coming after you, as it turns out, they can run as fast as your car.
They can.
That is possible. A humanoid robot could, there's no theoretical reason why a humanoid couldn't run that fast, except it would be really likely to overheat. A robot, it would mess up the joints, so it probably couldn't sustain a speed like that for very long.
But, yes, but it might not have to.
Really, what you want to do is escape, though.
Well, that's right.
You don't want to stand up and fight.
Yes.
So really, it's all about fooling the sensors, because that's a robot's weak spot. They're not really good general purpose thinkers. So Terminator might be good at tracking you down. So what you want to do, for instance, is it'll be looking for skin colors.
Right.
So you might want to cover up your skin or put on some kind of camouflage. Well, another thing is it'll actually lock on to the trackers will generally lock on to the clothing that you're wearing in order to disambiguate you from the background. So if you can't actually get something, some kind of cover, like something substantial between you and the robot, then get some clutter in between yourself and the robot, and that's just anything visually that's gonna make it harder for the robot to see you and figure
like,
out
like
the
visual chaff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's something else that's interesting about. It's really hard for machines to figure out the physical properties of objects that you throw. So it can't tell, for instance, if you throw a rock, whether it's a rock or a balloon or what the what the physics of the object is.
Mm.
One last-ditch thing you might do is if somebody else is wearing something similar to what you're wearing, you can just run over there and give them a big bear hug. What'll happen is you'll combine into one entity, really. If you think about that bounding box that, you know, is on your camera, where there's two boxes around two different people, when they hug, they combine into one box.
That's
then
true.
When you run away, there's a 50% chance it'll chase the other guy. So you have that going for you.
Well, this is all with today's technology in mind, right?
Yeah, this is all with today's technology in mind. Extrapolated into, this would be a believable Terminator. This would be a Terminator that's obeying all the rules.
I'm still very worried about outsourcing the intelligence for a robot. That one hit me hard.
Yeah, it's compelling.
Yeah, it really is compelling. How did you respond to that, by the way, when you heard it?
Well, you know, I thought the piece I was writing, which may, it is still in the process of being edited, was really all about the differences between Japanese and American approaches to creating humanoid robots. And so what struck me about that was that it was really innovative. It is a heck of an idea.
The Japanese are coming up with all the cool robots. I mean,
well,
they've got. I've seen them. I've seen them.
Yeah, you've seen
the most
Honda
amazing. Agua. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
Japanese are doing it, and I really do wonder why. And if you move over to the American side now, why are we so much against the idea
of humanoids? Well,
yes.
it's because there's no bottom line. We're really driven by robotics research is driven a lot by healthcare. How are we going to deal
sure.
with the baby boomer crisis? So that's where I got all my money, for instance, to do my research. It's driven a lot by DARPA, which that does not necessarily, by the way, mean that whatever you create, if you produce it on DARPA money, that it's going to have a gun attached to it. I mean, this is the agency that funded the development of the internet, and a lot of other really basic fundamental research.
But
sure.
the original intent of the internet, if I recall correctly, was something that would survive nuclear war.
Yeah, this is what okay, so this is a little point. This is a little rant that I'd like to go on. It'll just take a second.
Sure, go ahead.
So when you get money from DARPA, right, everyone will assume that you're evil, And that's part of why I wrote How to Survive a Robot Uprising is because I wanted to say, look, robots are not always evil, and the people that are making them are definitely not evil. We all have these great applications in mind, and we need money. So you get things One of my favorite examples is I have a lot of friends who work on something called RoboCup. And RoboCup is where you get a team of five or six, I forget how many, robots who all cooperate together to play soccer. And a lot of the RoboCup money is from DARPA. And what happens is once a year when DARPA comes to visit, they take these really cute little Aibo dogs. They look like little soccer-playing dogs. They are the cutest things you've ever seen. And they, you know, they put them in these tactical warfare situations, you know. And it's a lie. it's fundamental research about multi-robot cooperation. And sure, DARPA wants to use it for its own reasons, but everybody doing the research, you know, they all have a lot of other reasons that they're really working on it. And you know, it doesn't necessarily involve DARPA, just their money. And so that's my rant, where you say, just because you got money coming from the military doesn't necessarily mean you're working on something evil.
But there's a fairly decent chance that you are.
You know, I've seen it from both ends. Working at Northrop Grumman, you know, I was thinking, you know, I had to get secret clearance to work on that project. I had to give my fingerprints, you know, and I was expecting some really cool stuff. I was thinking, okay, once I get behind this door, I am going to see the secret world of military defense contractor work. And it looked exactly like university, except honestly, I think that we were doing much better work at Carnegie Mellon.